help them to be safe and be able to keep us safe. And Father, we just thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for all you've done for us. Pray now that you'll be with the rest of tonight, and we'll give you the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, tonight is question and answer. And so, who's got the first question? Brother Norm.
There's some things here in 1 Peter that might really come alive to us.
Where is it?
1 Peter, verses 19, 20, and 21. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawns and the day star arises in your hearts, knowing the first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Okay, what's your question?
Can you kind of explain what the significance and the depth of all this is? Like especially verse 19.
Verse 19. What chapter was that again?
1 Peter.
Yeah, I got that. What chapter? Chapter 1, verse 19.
Yes.
With the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb, without blemish and without spot. Well, we know who that was. We know that he was the Lamb of God. He was the perfect Lamb that had to be sacrificed for our sins. And it had to be by his blood that we were saved. Take and go back to verse 18. It says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your own vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. Now, what's that talking about? That's talking about the people who lived prior to Jesus' death. And what they did is they offered sacrifices of silver and gold. Let's go all the way back to when Aaron made the golden calf. What did they use? They used golden earrings. They took gold, and he fashioned a calf after that. Well, it's saying that we can't gain salvation through things, gold, silver, and things like that. And then you go into 19, it says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, that's silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by the tradition of your fathers, but, there's that word, but, that means there's something else, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, the only way a person could sacrifice a lamb is if it was perfect. It had to be 100%. There couldn't be anything wrong with it. Here we see that Jesus was our perfect lamb.
I gave you the wrong. This is the second epistle of Peter.
What's that?
Well, I was in the second Peter. Second Peter 1:18 through 21. Second Peter.
Second Peter?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you're in the wrong book?
Yeah.
Oh. Second Peter 1, what's that?
Second Peter 1, 18 through 21.
All right. Let me read it. In this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Okay. What voice came from heaven when they were in the Holy Mount? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Okay, that was God himself. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in dark places, until the day dawn and the day star arises in your hearts. Okay, what's that talking about as far as the light? Who is the light of the world?
Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ, and that's who that's talking about. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That
means that anything that you read in the Bible, anybody can read it, and they'll all interpret it the same way. It's of no private interpretation. Everyone should interpret the Bible the same way. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, that's talking about writing the Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, what we need to realize is that in verse 21, it's talking about how the Bible was written. In verse 20, it's talking about the interpretation of God's word. We should all be able to interpret God's word. You know, there's an awful lot of people today that say, well, I can't understand the Bible. Yeah. Why is it they can't understand the Bible?
They don't read and they don't ask.
Well, that's part of it, and they might not be saved. If they're not saved, the Bible's not going to mean one thing to them, not one thing. And so you got to be saved in order to have the Holy Spirit show you from God's word. So, that answer your question?
Yeah, we know that all this Scripture comes from the Lord, and there's no private interpretation. Some people like to make private interpretations, but it's not of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And that's why you get way off track.
Yep. And see, that's the thing that I... I had somebody send me an email one day, and they quoted a scripture, and I'm thinking, that ain't what that says. So I went and I rewrote it back to him out of the King James, and I said, well, this is what the Bible says this scripture is. And I said, whatever you're using is not God's word. And they wrote back to me, and they said, well, everything is God's word. I said, no, it's not. Not everything is God's word. A lot of what is written today is man's word. And if it is not inspired by God, it's not God's word. That's why we need to be so careful what we use.
About
for
this day star, that's...
The morning star? The day star, that's the first star that comes out in the morning.
But it's talking here about this star. The day star dawn in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So that's of the Lord.
Right,
that's
exactly.
From the Lord.
Yep, right. That's okay, Mrs. Holcomb. Hang on a minute. We got to get the microphone over here so everybody watching can hear.
In John 1... Verse 36. And looking upon Jesus.
John what?
John chapter 1.
Okay.
Verse 36. And this happens over and over and over and over and over. Why is Jesus called a lamb? And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Why doesn't it say Son of God?
Okay. If Nathanael was one of the disciples.
Okay.
Okay, now, and he said, this was when he, at his calling. If you go back to verse 45, it says, Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now, Nathanael said unto him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Okay, when everybody felt that Jesus was supposed to come out of Judea, okay, that's where, you know, that's where they felt, because actually Bethlehem, that area there, because that's where David was raised, was in that area there. And Jesus came out of Nazareth. Why did Jesus come out of Nazareth? Because that's where Joseph and Mary went after they came out of Egypt. Remember when Jesus was little, they went to Egypt because Herod was after all the little ones. And so we don't know exactly what age it was when Joseph and Mary came back to Nazareth, but they didn't come back to Jerusalem. They didn't come back to Bethlehem because they felt that there was still, they still had fear of someone seeing them, knowing who they were, turning them in, and everything else. So they went to Nazareth instead, and that's where Jesus was raised, was in Nazareth. And so Nathanael said, well, how can anything good come out of Nazareth? Because nobody liked the Nazarene, you know. And so that's what he was talking about. What's that? Yeah.
Why don't
they just say Jesus? Why do they refer to Jesus as the Lamb of God?
Why do they refer to him as the Lamb?
The Lamb, yes.
The Lamb of God? Okay. The reason they did was because what was used as the sacrifice. Every year, their sins were rolled over. A lamb. There was a lamb that was killed. The blood was taken, and the a high priest went into the Holy of Holies one time a year and sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat. Okay, when Jesus came, he became our sacrifice, our perfect lamb. And when he went into heaven, he took his blood into the Holy of Holies in heaven, and he sprinkled it seven times on the mercy seat in heaven. And so it he had to be a perfect lamb in order to take and do that. Now, if you you think about that, you think, well, you know, Jesus died for our sins, and he had to have the credibility in order to take and do that. He had to be perfect. And because they used the lamb to go into the Holy of Holies blood, Jesus' blood had to go into the Holy of Holies in heaven. So, that answer your question? Good. Kind of a roundabout way? All right.
Who's next?
Okay, in Revelation, it talks about the white stone with our names on it. Will everybody know our new name, or will just we know our new name?
Whereabouts in the Revelation are you looking at?
I don't recall where it's at. I know it talks about we get a new name with a white stone.
Okay, a white stone. Everybody is going to have a new name in heaven.
Will everybody know it, or will just us?
No. Not everybody is going to know your name in heaven. And it's going to be on that stone, that white stone, and that's going to be your name in heaven. And you're going to be named by God. Your name ain't going to be Chuck. You may be Bell Seizer.
You might be Whoopie-Doo.
Yeah, I know. Could be. Very easily. Yeah. But yeah, everyone is going to have a name, and Jesus has a name on his thigh that no one knows when he comes back to fight in the Battle of Armageddon. And so You know, I believe that we're all going to have a new name. You know, that's like the song, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And so we're all going to have a new name when we get into heaven. A new body, new name, new life.
So only us and the God will know our new names, not our friends or family won't know it then.
Right. Yeah, I won't know what your name is in heaven until you show me your white stone.
Well, so I'll thump you with it.
Huh? Yeah. We'll have a stoning party.
Pastor, when I think of that last part of that verse, behold the Lamb of God,
yeah,
and she asked about why was he referred to as the Lamb of God, what happened when he was baptized and God spoke? And what did God say?
Well, okay, when Jesus, when Jesus was baptized, God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Okay, and so that's what that says when Jesus talked out of heaven. And then when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, behold, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And so they were commanded by God the Father that they were to listen to what Jesus was trying to tell them. And as I read that, I believe that there was a communications gap between the disciples and what Jesus was telling them. And God the Father saw that. And he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when he said that, what he was saying is, hey, listen to what he has to say because you're going to need it. And but I've never seen a commentator that agreed with me on it, but I don't really care anyway because that's what I think it was. So, yes, sir. Well, you know, the thing of it is, if you look at Pentecost, look what happened at Pentecost. I mean, you know, cloven tongues came down from heaven, and they sat on everyone that was in that room, not just the disciples, but there was 200 in that room, and it sat on all 200 of them. And then the house shook. Well, you know, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. But I don't know for sure today if that happens or not, because that was another sign gift from God. Because we need to realize that the church was just starting. In fact, the church hadn't even started yet at Pentecost. And God had to bring something in to show people what they were facing, or that it was really him. And the only way he could do that was to shake them up a little bit. And you know, there's an awful lot of people who, you know, still believe in the sign gifts, but I don't. And the reason I don't is because we have the perfect Bible. And it says that which is when that which is perfect shall come, that which is done in part shall cease. And what was done in part were the sign gifts, the faith healing, the speaking in tongues, raising the dead, you know, stuff like that. Those were all sign gifts given to the Jews because the Jews needed a sign and the Gentiles needed grace. And so if you look at who the sign gifts were given to, they were given to the Jews Because once Paul started preaching to the Gentiles, the sign gifts went farther and farther away. Because somebody said to me, well, how do you know that? I said, well, look at Paul and Timothy. Paul could not heal Timothy. Timothy had problems with his stomach, and Paul could not heal him. Why? Because Timothy was a Gentile. Now, if you take and you look at some of the other ones, you know, look at Paul. What did God tell Paul? He prayed three times for his thorn in the flesh, and what did God say? My grace is sufficient for thee. And so I believe that it was pretty much at that time when the sign gifts were being less and less because the word of God was being penned out. You know, Paul had already written 1st and 2nd Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. He had already written the letters to, or is in the process of writing the letters to Timothy. He had already written Hebrews. And so what we need to realize is that as all this was coming together and the canon was putting together for the New Testament, then that which is perfect came, and that which is in part was done away. Because we didn't need the sign gifts anymore, because we had that which is perfect, which is the Word of God. And so that's where I am on that part of it. Well, I realize that, but I don't believe that like Benny Hinn and all these guys, I don't believe that what they do is of the Holy Spirit. I don't. I was watching a thing the other day, and somebody went and waved their hand over this guy, and 50 people fell down. Boom. And I'm thinking to myself, what was that all about? You know what I mean? And the guy that he waved his hand over was still standing there. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know, what was supposed to happen? You know, a lot of it is show. It really is. And it's all, a lot of it is done for money, a lot of money. There's a lot of money involved in that. And but that's why I really have a problem sometimes with people who say, well, you know, I felt the whole building just shake. Well, we don't have earthquakes here very often. And, yeah, right. Okay, question. Well, we'll see. Eight? What are you doing in chapter 8? We aren't even in chapter 4 yet.
Man. It's about the seven seals and about the seven angels.
What?
Okay,
what is it?
And when he opened the seventh seal, and there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. Okay. Huh? Oh.
What now?
It's in chapter 8. It talks about the seven angels coming down, and they have the seven trumpets, and they each... Okay, when the rapture comes, do those seven angels come after that? Or how's that going to happen? Because when they're...
Wait till... Wait till next Wednesday. You're going to find out where the rapture is going to happen.
Okay, because it has each angel sounds a trumpet and stuff happens.
Okay, right. Okay, now, if you take and you look at those angel, those trumpets don't have anything to do with the rapture, right? In fact, those trumpets are trumpet judgments. There's seven judgments. Okay, first you're going to have the seal judgments. There's seven seals that are going to open. Each one's going to have a judgment. Then you're going to have the seven trumpet judgments, and each of those are going to have a judgment. And so as we get into this, you're going to see what those judgments are, and you're going to be glad that you're not here during that time period. Right. Yeah. Well, you know, if you take any look at what it, you know, what actually happens, look at verse 8, the second angel sounded, and it was as a great mountain burning, with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Okay, and the third part of the creatures, which were in the sea and had life, died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. Now, there's a lot of people that feel that there's a big tidal wave with this, but I don't believe it was. I believe that there was a, there could be a volcano that went off or something like that in the sea, and what it did is erupted the oil fields that are underneath the sea. Now, think about this for just a minute. What does oil look like, crude oil, on water? Blood. It looks like blood. Okay, now, we know what happened with the Valdez up in Alaska, with all of the animals that were covered with oil. Now, it could very easily happen that all of a sudden God opens up the ocean floor, and all of this oil comes out of the ocean floor and covers one-third of the seas. I mean, that's tremendous. And one-third of all of the ships that were in the sea at the time were destroyed. You know, I can't remember what the flashpoint of crude oil is, but if you take and you think of this crude oil, and then all of a sudden if it started on fire and you had all these ships in there, it would destroy the ships. So, but it's going to be a horrendous time, and then everybody's going to blame God for it. But, so, no. You'll see that next Wednesday night. In fact, I was telling Kevin, I'm to verse 2 of chapter 4, and I think I have 10 pages of notes already off the first verse, and I'm just getting into verse 2. So, all right. What did you have, Susan, for a question? What? Oh. All right. All right, any other questions? Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. Hold it. Dana's got one. I get in there and see what he says. Oh, he says, I always figured they needed to be able to speak to many different people in their missions travels. Yes and no. Well, let's look at that real quick. Let's go to Acts. Go in the book of Acts. As long as we're talking about it. And let's see here. Trying to see where it is. Acts chapter 2. maybe not. Yep, here it is. Pentecost. Now, let's start at verse 1. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they came all with one accord in one place. And and suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. That's everybody that was in that room. There was about 200. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this is why this was done. Look at verse number 4. It says, and there were, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with, I'm sorry, verse 5. And there was dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of what? Every nation under heaven. Okay, if we're here in the United States, we speak what? Okay, if you're in Mexico, you speak. Okay, if you're in Guatemala or whatever, I mean, you might speak something else. You know, if you're in Spain, you speak a different type of dialect of Spanish. Okay, now, here we see that there were devout men from every nation. Just by looking at that, that tells us that they all spoke what? Different languages. They all spoke in different languages. Now, so now, here we see then that Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own what? Language. That's why they were given the gift of tongues, so that everyone could hear in their own language what was being said. You know, if you had every dialect of language in one area and somebody started speaking in English, a lot of people probably wouldn't understand what you were saying. And God allowed them to speak in those foreign languages so that everyone understood. Now, I want you to look at that. And now there was no interpreters there. None, zero, because everyone heard in their own language. And this is where a lot of things like today with the speaking in tongues movement and stuff is not right. Because if a person can't understand what they're saying, there needs to be an interpreter there to tell them what they're saying. And if there's no interpreter, they just shut up and sit down. And this is why, but that was the sign gift of tongues, so that everybody, and notice who they were. I want you to notice that they were what? Devout men out of every nation, or they were Jews, devout men out of every nation. There was no Gentiles at all in this. Why wasn't there any Gentiles? Why was it all Jews? Okay, now, think about this. What did the Jews require? A sign. They always had to have a sign. That's what speaking in tongues was a sign gift given to the Jews for the Jews. And that's what this is all about. Yes. Well, see, a good friend of mine, he is a Oneida Indian, and he knows the Oneida tribal language very good. In fact, his dad was an Oneida chief for years. And so, I mean, he knew the language. He was in a Pentecostal church one Sunday, and he was sitting there, and this guy got up, and he started speaking in tongues. And he got up, and he told the preacher, he says, "You tell him to sit down because he's blaspheming God." And the preacher looked at him. He goes, "No, he's praising God." And he says, "No, he's not. He's speaking in my native language, and he's blaspheming God." And they escorted him out of the church. Nobody knew what he was saying. And see, this is where it's really, we need to be very careful in what we listen to and things like that, because it can, now, who can turn themselves into an angel of light? Satan. If he can turn himself into an angel of light, do you think maybe he can cause someone to speak in an unknown language thinking that you hear something godly when actually it's not? You know, after all, I mean, that's what the Bible says. He can turn himself into an angel of light and become a false Christ. You know, that doesn't, he can be a false preacher. He knows the Word of God, frontwards, backwards, inside and out, a lot better than you and I do, because he's been there since the beginning. However, we also need to realize that the sign gifts, the faith healing and things like that, they were all given for a specific purpose, and that was to lead the Jews to the saving knowledge of Christ. They had to have a sign, and that was their sign. And so, but anyway, all right, yes, ma'am. Yeah, right. Right. Yep. So, all right, let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for all that you've done for us. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct and be with us, I pray. Help us understand your word a little better. And we pray now that you'll be with us as we go home. Help us to have a good week. Bring us back to our appointed place on Sunday. And we'll give the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, you are dismissed. Good questions tonight. Shoot.